Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jeffrey Zabar is here, too, because he's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. The 2001 Small Business Journalist of the Year, the author of a number of books, including one of my favorites for anybody who has a home-based office, Safe at Home. And his new one is Teleworking and Telecommuting. He's our good friend, Jeffrey. Welcome back.
Always great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. Jeffrey, one of the things that I've been doing a lot of thinking about over the last few years that I think is important for in some ways, and that is understanding and having a perspective on all the different ways that people have become a small business owner these days. When you see someone who's a small business owner in the 21st century, how did they get there? How did they become that in the 21st century? And you're a lot younger than I am, and you've had a different career than I've had. Years ago, many years ago, I was in sales and full time, and I went out into the marketplace, knocked on doors, called folks up, built customer relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And when I called on a small business owner, say 30 years ago, there was a pretty good chance that person became a small business owner primarily two reasons. They grew up in the business. Their parents had the business, and so they inherited it. Or they just decided to be a tire dealer. Or they just decided to have a dry cleaners or something like that. They just decided that that's what they were going to do. As you know, the reason why people are small business owners in the 21st century, there are a lot more than two, aren't there?
Right.
If you think about it, I mean, we've got... I mean, look at me. Look at my story. I was downsized.
Right.
Twice in 18 months. And I said, I don't need help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself.
It only took you two times for him to do that.
That's exactly right. You know, I think I'm not a quick learner. But the point is that if you're calling on small business owners these days, if you're selling to small business owners, I think it's important to have an understanding about how they got where they are. I think that's important to the relationship. What do you think?
Well, that's critical because, I mean, when you're marketing, the best tool you can bring to any marketing and selling on anybody is a form of marketing, whether it's, you know, a sales call or an outreach or an ad or just, you know, dropping by, is empathy. Know that person. It's not, just sympathy, not just to feel where they've been, but to know and to have been where they've been. So if, as best you can, if you have been a small business owner in your day, or if you've known or had known people who have gone through the ups and downs, and if especially if you're selling a specific product, service, widget, whatever the case may be, to that audience, know how to personalize that. And the more information, not information, the more knowledge and feeling that you can bring means that you'll have a better understanding of who this person is. It's not about, I have an in to make this sale and close this deal and make, you know, move him from the prospect side to the customer side. It's about really bringing value to people, because one thing that you and I have learned, and you often close out our conversations by asking what you can do for me, is what can I do for you today? How can I help you? Not just how can you help me meet my sales goal, but how can I help you better your business? And the more empathy we can bring and understanding we can bring of where small businesses are today, the more success we'll find along the exact line.
Well, and exactly. And the thing is if you think about what people sell these days, everything that is sold in the marketplace today, with very few exceptions, and I mean very few exceptions, are commodities.
Right.
That means you can get it somewhere else easily right now.
Right.
And maybe even less expensively.
Right.
And so what is it that would make someone do business with you or me? I think it's the connection. I think it's more the connection, because if stuff that we want is available six ways from Sunday, you know, by just reaching out with a mouse or hitting a speed dial or whatever, then why would I do business with this person over that person?
Right.
I think it's the connection. I think it's the relationship that's being built. And one of the ways of building that relationship, Jeffrey, as you know very well, is to have a perspective on where this person came from, this business owner I'm calling on. What are they thinking about? What motivates them? How are they motivated? And what is really important to them? Because the decision to buy or not to buy anymore is not so much about the product.
Right.
And it may not be about the price. All right, you've got to look at your situation. You're a small business owner. You're a micropreneur, right?
Exactly.
All right. You used to have a day job.
Right.
Why did you decide to do this insanity that you're doing right now?
My motivation was because I felt I could do it better on my own. I hadn't been downsized. I wasn't being pushed out. I didn't see the writing on the wall. I just knew that what I was doing as a writer, and under the guidance that I wasn't getting in the organization that I was at, I mean, I was still young enough to take a leap of faith, but to say, I think I can do this better myself. And that can be said and done at any age. If you feel that you're in an organization that's stagnant, you're under a boss who is nothing more than a figurehead and is not bringing you any guidance, leadership, or knowledge, or betterment of your career plan, I said, I can do this better myself. And that's what we did. And I quit the job with my wife's support, was able to move out on my own. And I have not regretted that decision once. It wasn't like I left a six-figure position to start from scratch. But, you know, I left a comfortable job with a steady paycheck to make that leap of faith.
So if I'm a PR firm, Jeff, and I'm trying to get your business, I want to help you grow your business, then I need to know that story.
Right.
I need to know why, you know, you didn't get fired, you didn't get canned, you didn't get laid off. You had a desire, you had a drive. There was some value, there were some set of values that caused you to do what you did.
Right.
If I know those, I can incorporate them into why you should do business with me. And I think there are lots of stories out there that those of us who call on small companies, not just micropreneurs, not just one person shops like Jeff's, but any small business owner, if you're dealing with the owner, find out how they got where they are. Ask them these questions. I think it'll help you make a better connection. 20 after, we'll be right back with our good friend Jeffrey Zabar right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll subscribe to my newsletter if you haven't already. If you haven't joined the happy throng of thousands of subscribers, the over 10,000 subscribers to our newsletter, I hope you will. And our blog is there on the site. We'll send you the newsletter on Sunday. We'll send you the blog Monday through Friday if you want, or you can just come and get it. And you can find all the other things, including the large body of work that Jeffrey Zabar has deposited with us over the last many years now. Let's see, Jeff, I'll have to look back at how long it's been. We have these records, by the way, Jeff. We're like baseball. And while I'm looking that up, why don't you give us your website, please?
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
Yeah. And this summer, Jeffrey, will be 7 years. We'll be celebrating our 7th anniversary.
That's amazing.
How about that?
That is amazing.
It's amazing that you've hung around with me this long, I guess, huh?
You know what? Well, I can't turn down that paycheck, man.
That's right. That's right. That biggie that comes every couple of years.
Every so often. He pays me in meals when he comes down to Boca Raton.
You know, Jeff, the selling process in the 21st century is different. I have a little thing whenever I do speaking and talking to groups. You know, one of the things in my keynotes is I hit them with is I quote that great sage of cinema, Dorothy.
There you go.
And I tell them, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
Right.
And you've seen this. I mean, you've been around long enough. You saw that. You knew what the 20th century marketplace looked like. The 21st century marketplace is different, isn't it?
It's different, and I can't even put my finger on it because it changes so fast. You try and put your thumb on it, and it scurries down the road a little bit and morphs on you. There's a commercial, in fact, on TV right now that sort of lays out, you know, if you create a project, will people buy it? If you create something that makes people more productive or safer or more efficient, will they buy it? You know, are you ready for the changing market, even if it changes every 4 hours? You know, I mean, it's a fast changing place, but you know, you do have to keep on top of that, so you find you can stay, again, whether it's empathetic to what's going on to those around you or just on top of it, so you can foster your own business and success.
When I first started in the marketplace, and my first real job, I say real job, the first job I got paid for after I left the farm was my senior year in high school, 1966 and 7, and which is a long, long time ago. And Jeff, in those days, and all the way through the 70s and part of the 80s, maybe most of the 80s, if you walked, you know, the marketplace, if you entered the marketplace would say, okay, you know, grab a chair, sit down and learn.
Right.
Now, when you enter the marketplace, either brand new or you and me today, Jeffrey, as we continue our day, the marketplace says, you got skates?
Right.
Can you inline? Can you inline?
Right.
You better, you know, and if you can't keep up on your own, you better grab a door handle and put, you know, and ride along with us here.
Exactly.
Because, and if you can't skate, you're going to get left behind in the dust.
I mean, I'll give you a little bit of insight, and I'll give you a little bit of my personal perspective on that, and a little bit of honesty. It scares me sometimes because it is so fast.
It's frightening.
It's frightening.
It can be.
It can be. I mean, you can stay on top of it, and there are those times, and, you know, I've written articles, and we've discussed in the past where the demons come out at night, and you wonder how you're going to stay atop it, you know, whether it's too much work, which has happened at times, which is a good thing. But there can be, obviously, the signs of too little work, and high receivables or no receivables, and how to make it happen. But, I mean, as of late, you and I were speaking about one of my clients who turned me on to his network. And his network is now, I've gotten 4 requests for proposals on different areas that I write about, whether it's a script, whether it's some ad copy, whether it's a website redesign, at least editorially. And, you know, in the midst of all my other work, I mean, that's one of the concerns of any entrepreneur is that you don't take on too much.
You've got all this opportunity. You know, another thing, Jeffrey, that I think makes people a little bit crazy, and I've never heard anybody else say anything like this, so I'd like to get your thoughts on it. When you read the magazines, the business magazines, and they've got these stories in there about all these companies, and they're so hip, they're so with it, they're so, you know, they're so advanced, and sometimes I think those kinds of stories, which these people are really, if you think about it, they're like very unusual companies.
Right.
I think that puts unnecessary pressure on us too. What do you ever, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You ever read these about these people, and you get the feeling that if you're not like them, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
I think that may not be what's intended, but I think that's what we feel about it. And so I think we have to be careful reading those kinds of stories, don't you?
Well, there's a lot of stories out there, and what I'm trying to do, and as I get older, not necessarily old, but as I get older, I try and see things through other people's eyes or see what makes a Steven Jobs a Steven Jobs. What makes him what he is? What makes a successful exec who they are? For example, I did a story for Florida Trend that I delivered last week on our age-old nemesis, cash flow.
Right.
And I was speaking to a home-based business owner. I was speaking to a guy who ran a small chemical company.
20 seconds.
Okay. And I was speaking to a woman who quit a day job 6 years ago and launched an architectural firm from her kitchen table. Now she has 40 employees.
Yep.
So I was trying to say, did you mean to be that big? That it just happened. And you know what? It just happened.
Hey, Jeffrey, give us your website again, please.
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
You can find his books there and a lot of other good stuff. Check it out. Thanks, Jeff, for being here. See you later.
Always great to be with you.
Next time. Quick break, right back with our good friend Bill Brandt. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Amazing.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.